Update. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
People all over the country were really saddened to hear of the death of President Michael D. Higgins' dog, Sheeda. Just no wait for the onslaught of text messages coming in, say that I pronounced that wrong. But there was loads about it online and Twitter and all over the place. But in real life, if you tell someone you're upset about your own pet, they will probably just laugh at you. It's awful. Or just slowly try and get away from you. Why? Well, Pete Wedderburn is a vet who sees the circle of pet life all day, every day. And he is on the line now. Pete, how's it going?
Very good. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Pete, I read somewhere that the death of a pet is sometimes called disenfranchised grief because it's kind of not socially accepted that you'd be genuinely upset. Why is that?
Well, it's very true. People might give you, you know, a little bit of sympathy and might give you a day to get over it, but then they sort of expect you to move on with life. And I think what this is basically lack of empathy from other people. And I think it's probably linked to the fact that deep affection for pets is a relatively new thing. Relatively. Like a generation ago, people used to have, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 children, and they didn't really have space in their life for an emotional connection to a pet, whereas people now might have 2 or 3 or 4 children max, and then they have an emotional niche, and they fill it with a pet. Mm-hmm. And so... It's very common now for pets to live in our homes rather than in the backyards, and we thoroughly engage with them. And so it is a big cultural shift. It's a big change, and I think cultural norms take a while to catch up with that. Fortunately, there are many, many people who really do get it, who really do understand. And so, and especially the veterinary profession, we see this so often, and we really, like for us, we know that when somebody loses a pet, it's a big bit of their life that's been badly damaged, and we know it can affect them very deeply. So as vets, we're very aware of this, but the general population is still a message that's just gradually getting out there. And even with the president's dog being lost, I've been amazed how many people have said, is this news? What are people fussed about? Well, okay, it's not on the same level as other international news, but there's no doubt that it's, you know, that those dogs had a significant presence in the Irish media, in the Irish cultural life, if you like, and the loss of them is a big loss.
So if other people, those people who said, how is this news, those kind of people, if they're not going to be that supportive or people in your life, how can we face the grief ourselves?
Well, I think the really important thing is to talk to people who are close to you, because they're more likely to understand. They're more likely to understand the depth of your relationship with your dog. So talk to them. I actually also think that social media, like Facebook, can be a good way to express your appreciation for your pet and to express your sadness. And I see people quite commonly doing this when they've lost a pet, and I'm very encouraged to see the support they get from their friends in these situations. So you know, that's a good outlet. I also think that most people do manage to cope with their grief, and life does carry on. There are some people where it's so significant, it's as if they've lost a close family member, and they find it difficult to carry on. And for those people, there are some really good professional pet bereavement counselling services. There's one called SolacePetLossIreland.com. And they specialise, if you like, in helping people through this difficult time. And also, with the internet now, there's some really helpful international online grief support possibilities. There's one run by the Blue Cross in the UK. And, you know, you can email them talking about how upset you are about losing your pet. And they have volunteers who email you back and we'll just kind of thrash it out with you a bit and help you communicate your upset.
Would you recommend the idea of fostering pets in the wake of a loss?
I don't think so for most people at all. No, I mean, you know, I think in time people may come round to feeling there's space and in their life for another animal, but certainly not in the short term. I think most people, if anything, they're wary about getting involved again. They're so hurt by having lost an animal that they're so close to, that the thought of engaging for a second time, or you know, another time, is really something which they have to steel themselves for almost, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a very much a personal thing, and you couldn't. There's no rules. You have to do what feels best for yourself.
Yeah, we tried to do that and it absolutely backfired. We had a beautiful Yorkshire Terrier called Sparky and he died. So I thought it'd be a great idea to foster a dog from the dog home. And we got another Yorkshire Terrier and called him Sparky 2. That didn't work. And he wasn't the same. He wasn't Sparky.
No.
He was a very different dog. So you can't just replace him. And that absolutely did not work, because you kind of forget as well the first few years of having a pet and how it can be a little mad with puppies in the house, don't you?
Yes, yeah. And no animal, like in the States now and in places like parts of Asia, they're actually cloning pets now. So as your pet gets older, you can head off and get a little biopsy sample taken and get a puppy created, which is a clone of that dog. In other words, it's a genetic, complete copy. And you can get that done for quite a lot of money. But even then, even if it's the identical genetic makeup, it won't be the same dog at all. Not at all. It might look the same, and same size, shape, and some of the same characteristics. But every person and every animal is uniquely individual. And, you know, I think the best you can do is to love your dog when it's with you, or your cat. Really appreciate every day. Live in the moment with them. And they're great at teaching us to live in the moment. And when they go, well, it's very sad. But that's the other side of the coin of love. Unfortunately, sadness goes hand in hand with love.
Let's talk about that for a sec, because years ago, pets would just be buried in the garden. So what kind of services do vets offer these days?
Okay, well, I guess cremation is now the standard way. It's, you know, most people don't have, if you like, big enough gardens, and they're in rental homes. It's more complicated, perhaps. So cremation is the simplest way.
Mm-hmm.
What happens then? And the vet will always explain this to you before a euthanasia takes place. Generally, the pet is left. Most pets do die at the vet, because euthanasia is more common than pets dying by themselves, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And most often, the pet's remains will be left at the vet. And the vet will keep them refrigerated and until a courier collects them. And the pet's body is then taken to the crematorium and cremated. And then you can choose if you want to have that as individual cremation, where the ashes will be collected after cremation and put into a casket and returned to you, or you can choose to have what's known as group cremation, where several animals are cremated together and you don't have the ashes returned to you. The ashes are scattered elsewhere without special ceremony or whatever. So that's a choice you have. It's down to money, really. It costs more to have individual ashes returned to you.
Okay, well, Grace got in touch. She's on the line now. She's worried about losing her pet. Let's have a chat with Grace. Hiya, Grace.
Hi, Jane. How are you? Hi, Pete.
I'm good. Say hi to Pete there. Pete, this is Grace. Grace, this is Pete.
Hi, Grace.
Hi.
Grace, did you want to ask Pete something? Go for it.
Yes. I have three dogs. I have two older dogs, two Siberian Huskies. And Layla is 11 in February.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have her son, Max, who's 10 next year. And I know the lifespan of huskies can sometimes be really till kind of between 10 and 13 years. So I've never lost a dog before. I look at her and I'm like, I'm letting her away with everything. My fiance is like, oh, she's got you wrapped around a finger. And I'm like, I don't care. I'll feed her from the table if I want to, because, you know, we don't have that much time left with her. So I suppose I'm just kind of wondering how I'll get past that grief when she goes, because I look at her every day and I just think, oh God, it'll be terrible when you lose her.
I think that's a really difficult thing as pets get older. I have an 11-year-old dog as well, and I just love her. And it is really hard to contemplate the loss. I think there's no point in contemplating things like that. I think that when it happens, you will cope. You'll manage somehow. And in the meantime, like I say, dogs, they live in the moment, and we can learn from them, and we can live in the moment. So just cherish all your time with her and make the most of it. I think it's one of the really difficult things is knowing when the time is right to let her go. And I think it usually becomes obvious, but if you're in doubt, then it's worth having a conversation with your vet. Vets used to sort of say to people, it's time now, and we've moved on from that. Vets will almost never say to somebody, you must, I hereby declare this dog must now be euthanized. That doesn't happen. What vets will do is they'll talk to you and they'll ask you about, well, how is your dog's quality of life? You know, what is she doing that she still enjoys? How does she spend her time? And they help you work out if her life is worth living. Because with older dogs, you see, it does get very difficult. They lose their mobility. Often they lose weight. They just want to sleep. Often canine dementia is very common as well. And so often they're doubly incontinent and they start to do things like barking at night and they start to lose an awareness of where they are. So it tends to be a very gradual process. And it means as an owner, it's quite difficult. There isn't just like a day when it's obvious that it's the time. Often you do have to decide that the quality of life has faded so that there's no longer enjoyment there. It's very difficult, but like I say, you should talk to your vet when that time comes and they'll help you reach that decision.
Does that help, Grace?
It does, yeah. Thanks very much, Pete.
Thanks,
all
Grace.
Right, okay.
Bye-bye. Pete, can I ask you as well, just speaking on that, and people's decision to put their pet down, how difficult is that for you as a vet performing, you know, these procedures all the time?
Well, I actually think it's one of the most difficult bits about being a vet, because we have to witness such deep, intense grief. We have to be with people as they go through that. And it's actually been much, much worse through this COVID thing, because, you know, you can't give somebody a hug if they're sobbing.
Yeah.
They're racked with grief. In the old days, vet, you know, sometimes if you know somebody well, you might just, you know, get a little bit close to them and say, look, I know it's so awful, isn't it? You can't do that anymore. You have to stand your 2 metres apart. So I think a lot of vets are finding this is a, you know, it adds to the whole difficulty of the situation. I think the only consolation for vets is that we know for sure that we're doing this to prevent suffering. You know, it's done as an act of humanity. And the worst thing actually is when, very occasionally, somebody will refuse to euthanize an animal, and you know that the animal's suffering, you know that it's distressed and that there's no point in further living. But people just don't want to let go sometimes, and that's probably more difficult.
But it's interesting what you said. The one thing I got from our conversation this morning is if, and I hope Grace is still listening, live in the moment. That's one thing that animals teach you to do, is to live in the moment. And you're so right. And that is the most important thing you can do with your pet, and don't be worried about the future, and enjoy them today and go for that walk and enjoy every minute of them.
And it's true that grief is inevitable. It's the other side of the coin of love. It's inevitable. But like, you have to trust that you have the emotional resources to get through it. You will get through it. And in the meantime, just enjoy the fun. Like dogs and cats, they give us what seems like unconditional love. They will love you regardless of everything. They will always be happy to see you. They'll always look out at the sunshine in the garden and look at you, and you'd say they're smiling, and they probably are smiling in their dog and cat-like way. Just revel in it with them. Revel in it and enjoy the day, because that's all we have is today.
Well said, Pete, and thank you so much for coming on the show today. And I just want to ask you guys, if you've any ideas on how to help people get over the grief of losing their pets, you can text me 51552, because nobody ever knows what to say. We just don't. Pete Wedderburn, thank you so much for taking the call. We will be back right after these.